This is the men's room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. Kicksville. The Crippers, the Grasshoppers, the Hit Ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying eyes at night.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
We say hello and welcome in, listeners, now 98.9 The Rock, Kansas City's rock station.
Also, Rock 100.5, the Cat in Oklahoma City. And how could we ever forget our great friends down at 98.5 K-Fox, the South Bay's classic rock in beautiful San Jose, California. Big show for you today. Your guest is as good as mine. Categories, apps, and booze. Ask the Men's Room coming up. Speaking of booze, we'll drink and toast with the shot of the day. And another round to profile this. In the meantime, it is our random question. 844-999-OLA.
A few minutes ago, Miles, you asked the question, what did you fall for, right? People fall for your parents would tell you to go snipe hunting out in the woods, and you had the story about a woman who she's got many, many problems, but she believed the internet hoax that if you drink a liter of soy sauce, which is do not do this, if you drink a liter of soy sauce, it gets rid of the toxins in your body. She's now brain dead.
It'll kill you.
She's now brain dead. So on that note, someone they chime in and they said, Ola, something that I fell for. I refuse to eat chicken on the bone, but I love chicken. Now, my dad screws me a little because, you know, he knows I fall for stuff. He had me convinced when I was about 20, as in 20 years old, that scientists genetically modified chickens to have no bones. I was so excited. He let me believe this for a few weeks before telling me the truth. I cried, LOL. Rock on.
Random question, 844-999-OLA.
Random, random.
Hello, Larry.
Random,
welcome to the men's room.
Random. Hola, Victoros.
Hola. Larry, welcome to the program. Random question, All right, here we go.
Yeah.
Larry, here, let's go with this one. How did you or someone else earn their nickname?
Well, the only nickname I remember having was Yardbird.
Yardbird?
I got Yardbird because when I was in high school, I had a lot of younger siblings. And my little brother, Robert, I think he was only about 2 years old, and he had a hard time pronouncing my name. And it would start off with Swarty or Wardy, and it progressed to Yardy. Before he could say Larry.
Boy, he was way off the mark.
What was that now?
So that dude was way off the mark.
He was 2 years old.
No excuses, man.
Yeah. Come on. Larry's not a hard word.
Okay. It's Larry. Right. Say Larry. It's not Yardy.
Does he still call you that today?
Oh, no. But when he was 2 years old, he called me Yardy because he couldn't say Larry. And my best friend Jacob at the time picked up on that and started calling me Yardbird.
Okay.
And I think he is the only one that actually called me that.
But it stuck.
It did stick with me for years.
All right, well, at least that's not bad.
No.
I mean, Christ, Miles, it's one guy, what do you call you? Penis nose? Penis head?
D-nose,
right.
Yeah,
right.
My nose look like a D.
That's not awesome.
No, but
you know what I mean? Like, that's not great.
Mm-hmm. Well, his nickname was Curly, and he had no hair in high school.
But that's not bad because the two most famous Curlies I can think of, which would be Three Stooges and Harlem Globetrotters, both bald.
Oh, my God, dude. And you know what the funny part about it was?
That's a great call.
Right. You know what I mean? If you say, look, man, if someone says, I'm going to introduce you to my buddy Tiny, I know that Tiny ain't Tiny.
Right.
Right? If you're going to introduce my buddy Curly, he does not have a hair on his head. It's just understood.
Oh, my God, man. He would, and the way he talked, man, he just had this real high-pitched voice. And he was fast as hell. And he would run in the huddle and go, Dino! 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 Look at me! Look at me, Dino! Throw me the goddamn ball, Dino! Like, I'm trying to, man. You weren't opening that.
This is like every play on every game, right?
Dino! Check me out over there.
Was he a good player?
Oh, he's great.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's really good. It's all I do is throw it up to him and just jump up and catch
it. Dino. But he wasn't saying D, I'm assuming.
He's saying D, yeah.
Otherwise, you sound like the Flintstones pet, right?
Hey, Dino, are you going to look my side? Yes, Curly, I'll look your side. Why? I'm open. Every play. Okay. Come on, Dino, let's get it together.
Do you have a nickname for him, or was he just...
He was Curly.
He was Curly.
He was 3 years older than me. He was a senior. I was a sophomore, man. I just like, whatever
Keep
you say,
easy.
Buddy.
Yeah. You got it, bro.
I don't care. I'll throw you the ball.
Random.
Hello, Aaron. Welcome to the men's room.
Random.
How you guys doing?
Hola! Doing well, man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Aaron, by the way, if you're just listening,
there's still a wide receiver right now who's open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
always. On every play.
We should mention, because it needs to be said, that the reason we asked the question, how did you or someone else earn their nickname? A surfer who refers to himself as Sharkbait has been hospitalized after a shark attack during an early morning surf in Australia. The man received 5 deep lacerations to one of his lower legs when he was bitten by a shark. At 7 a.m., he managed to swim to a nearby break wall where a passerby saw him and contacted emergency services. He was treated at the scene before being flown to a hospital. He is in stable condition. Mr. Mason's father, Rob, told the news station his son had loved surfing since he was young, and it was very disturbing when he found out about the incident. He surfed since he's been like 5 or 6. He loves to surf early, and he loves to surf by himself, which is a bit risky. He says he's shark bait, but he's prepared to take the risk, and he does. So he went by shark bait and then got bit by a shark.
You think the shark said, sorry, chum?
Jesus.
I got shark jokes.
Okay, all right. Okay, let's go here. Let's get you another random question.
Can you tell them all?
How about this one? Let's go with this one. What happened to your penis?
What happened to my penis?
What happened to your penis?
Penis. Pitus.
It's been kicked. Burned, electrocuted. I've had all kinds of horrible
things. Wait, why would your penis be electrocuted?
Because I'm a welder. It happened.
All right.
I guess that's how I got burned.
Oh, yeah, I've gotten burned lots of times. I've literally had liquid hot steel land there, and I just wasn't able to flinch. Otherwise, I'd have to redo my weld.
I hate to ask this question, man, because I don't think I've ever asked another man this question. What does your penis look like? I mean, does it look normal, or do you have to warn people? Like, if you're going home with some lady, look, man, it's going to be an ugly thing.
If you're really trying to take a look at it, you can see some of the blotchy burns, because, like, after time, it all just kind of, like, blends in, so.
How many times have you been burned?
On my penis or in general?
Just in general.
More times than I could count. I'm also that guy that my mom said she was afraid to go to sleep at night because I would burn stuff all the time. I've gotten burned since I was a little kid to adulthood.
So you took your love of pyromania into a profession where you work with fire.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I love fire. Like, there's just something about cutting through steel with fire is just absolutely amazing.
Okay, I'll give it a...
Okay. Do you consider yourself a pyromaniac? Like, if you were to be diagnosed, if we went into a psychologist or whatever?
Yes, yes, totally. I am absolutely obsessed with fire. The way it dances, the smoke, the sound it makes, fire is absolutely amazing.
All right, now, when you like, watch a movie and there's an arsonist doing things and they're trying to track this guy, are you rooting for the arsonist or the fire department?
Or masturbating?
I'm rooting for the arsonist, man. I mean, anytime you want to burn something down, as long as nobody gets hurt, who cares?
Do you have a fireplace in your house?
Do I? No. Yes, but it's not functional.
Okay. What?
All right.
The guy who loves fire does not have a functional fireplace.
Who wants to have a controlled burn, man? I want to see something.
Me! Most people that don't want to die.
Most people in California.
Like, if I'm going to start a fire in my home is what if I'm outside and we're going to light a shed on fire, let's go for it, let's have fun. But, like, in my home, yes, I definitely prefer a controlled fire.
I don't want a controlled fire, so I'm not going to have one in my home.
Okay. I've also never heard you utter the phrase, I love fire, like he did.
You know what? That's a strong point.
Reason we asked what happened to your penis. A Utah man was charged for allegedly torturing his roommate and then hammering an ice pick tool through his genitals. Jason Lee Mon was charged on September the 5th. He is 45 years old. According to police, Mon got into an argument with his roommate because he allegedly believed that the roommate had assaulted a woman. Police were not able to verify those allegations. During the argument, Mon allegedly held a shotgun to his roommate's head and made the man sit in a chair before handcuffing him. According to statement of probable cause, Mon told the victim he could either be taken to the desert to be killed or Mon could drive a nail into his penis.
How long did he have to think about this? Because I'd be like, I need some time.
Mon then allegedly threatened to shoot the victim if he attempted to fight back. After the victim chose the latter option, Mon allegedly used a rusty hammer to drive an ice pick-like tool through the victim's penis and into a 2x4 board placed under the victim. The suspect released the man and told him to leave, but allowed him to get a bandage. The man sought medical attention at a hospital the following day. I don't know what took him a day
sitting around to determine that that would be a good idea to wait 24 hours.
He was bored.
Mon was booked into the Salt Lake County Jail on $250,000 bond. According to jail records, ice picks, a small pointed implement used to break ice, was found and had been used in the attack. And that's, I guess, they got the 2x4. They got everything that they needed to arrest the gentleman who did that to his roommate.
At the moment that you let your roommate go, wouldn't you just assume that the cops are going to be there in short order?
Mm-hmm.
Just as a general rule, if you drive an ice pick through someone else's penis and then let them go, they're probably going to go to the
cops. I'm coming back with a meat cleaver after I get cleared
right.
at the
Either
hospital.
Either he's coming back angry like, or coming, the cops
like
are coming.
If somebody drives something through my penis, trust me, it ain't over yet. I don't care if I go to jail.
To be fair, you had a choice. He gave him options.
It could have been dead.
Yes. Or the ice pick and the penis. Like, hey, man, you made the pick. That's
yeah, I mean, if I got to pick death or ice pick, at that point I'm going ice
what
pick.
What do you, yeah, yeah. Are you? Well, you're handcuffed, so you can't fight back.
Well, you're not fighting back. I mean, it's like one of these things is going to happen. Did we find out if the guy that got the ice pick driven through his penis actually assaulted a woman or not?
No, it did not say that they had any proof of that. It said it was an alleged. Not okay. saying that it did happen or it didn't happen. There was just no proof of it happening.
That's a little problematic, man. You know, like, if the guy did assault, even when the cops get there, look, you're still going to go to jail for a bit, but when you argue it in court, there's all those little arguments to reduce your sentence and all mm-hmm. this kind of thing. But, like, if they go, well, you thought he did, but he didn't, and then you made this decision, that's real bad.
The most shocking part of the story isn't situationally what happened. The most shocking part of the story to me is he released the victim. He let him go after he drove an ice pick through his penis. The victim chose not to go to the hospital to seek medical attention until the following day.
I don't get that.
To me, that's just like, look, the other stuff, that's ridiculous. But the fact that you were free to go anywhere, you've had an ice pick put through your penis, and you don't go seek medical attention for a full day seems a little odd. I'd go to the hospital and go right to the cops.
Hey, keep in mind, it's not just that the guy drove an ice pick through your penis. It was still nailed to a 2x4.
Mm-hmm.
How do you even get your pants up?
More of the random question coming up. 844-999-OLA. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Ask the Men's Room's coming up. If you have a question for any of us here in the Men's Room, just shoot us an email to the Men's Room at mensroomlive.com. Make the subject Ask the Men's Room and ask away. In the meantime, it is our random question. Question 844-999-OLA.
Random.
Hello, Ricky.
Random,
welcome
random,
to the Men's Room.
Random.
Hola.
All right. Let's see here. What do we have for you in the... All right, let's go with this one. Here's a good one. What did your roommate do?
I'm married now, so my roommate's my husband.
Well, you can talk about him, too. We don't care.
So the only roommate you've ever had was your husband?
No, I had a couple of other roommates as well. But my husband is in the Army. He's a mechanic. My roommate before him was my mom.
That's not really a roommate. That's like living with mom. I don't consider that a roommate.
Did your mom move in with you? Did you move back to her home? Or did the two of you pool money together and get a place together?
Well, we kind of pooled money together. We were living in Brooklyn at the time. So.
Okay. What about before that? Have you ever had a roommate that wasn't a husband or a relative?
Oh, wait. Was your mother a good roommate, though? Like, it's different. Like,
We treated each other like roommates. So
when you say like Brooklyn, you mean Brooklyn, not like Brooklyn, Indiana or
Brooklyn,
something.
New York.
Okay.
Well, no, wait, if your mom's your roommate, right? So like one thing about roommates back in the day that I had roommates, and believe me when I tell you, in no capacity was I a ladies man, but on the lucky event that I brought someone home, like there were some general rules that us as roommates, we just understood. And there was no particular judgment, but I feel like if for whatever reason, financially we take a hit and me and my mom get a new place together, I would feel a little odd. You know what I mean? Like, what about that stuff?
We had separate parts of our place. So I had the front part. She had the back part. And she didn't date at the time. And I hardly ever brought guys home. So I would always go to their place. But my roommate before my mom was a stripper.
Okay. Oh, nice. So there you go. What did your roommate do? She was a stripper. So that had to be, what, late nights, I guess?
Yeah, I actually did it with her.
You were a stripper as well?
All right.
All right, did you...
This was almost 20 years ago. Okay. So
we don't care.
Yeah,
man.
I still like the idea of it. It's cool.
It's cool. Yeah, and our minds have great things going on. Did your mom, when your mother is your roommate, did your mother ever break into the mother role, right? So, like, right now, I can see my mother, and we're fine because we're both adults, but every once in a while, I'll still say or do the wrong thing, and she feels the need to, I am still your mother card.
No, my mother has always said, even as a child, I could do no wrong.
What about when you were dancing? Was she okay with that?
Yeah, she was fine with it.
Okay. And
she's always been one of the type of moms who's more your friend than your mother.
All right. And I guess that works out for your relationship.
Yeah. And it has its pros and cons. It was a con when I was in my teenage years. It's a pro as the older I got.
Now, when you look back on your teenage years, if it's one, you can do no wrong and you guys get along as friends. All teenagers are idiots. It's your birthright. Be one, right? This is the time to do it. But maybe she lets you get away with some stuff. Like, was it awesome at the time and you looked back and said, damn, she needed to get on my case a little more or even...
Oh, yeah, definitely. There were a lot of things she let me get away with that no parent in their right mind would have.
Okay.
What are some of these things?
Well, I used to, I did drugs.
And she just kind of let you, like, she was aware of this and didn't give you much.
Yeah.
Okay. How much money did you make, if you don't mind me asking? What's an average
back
night?
Back in the dancing days?
Yeah, what's an average night?
Average night, 200, 300.
Okay.
It just depends on the night.
How many times were you propositioned for sex for cash?
Actually, never.
Okay. And what made you stop dancing?
I gained a little too much weight.
Did
they tell you maybe to lose weight, or did you decide?
No. Well, it was a mutual decision.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Well, that's
What kind of drugs were you doing in your teen years? Like, I don't think I would overlook anything with my kids, but the severity of punishment would definitely vary by drug, right?
Well, I was doing acid, pot, and meth.
That's
pretty tall.
Like the weed now that it's been legalized in most places. Like, hey, man, it's like alcohol. Try to wait. I know you're not going to, not the end of the world. Acid.
Yeah.
What was your trip like? I would ask them not to, but I get it. Meth would be an entirely different conversation between me and my kids.
I just think between the meth and the acid, you must have hated sleep.
Oh, yeah. I didn't sleep for days.
I bet you that's why you put weight on, too.
I was going to say.
You take meth and acid out of the equation, you're going to do things like, I don't know, eat food.
Yeah, sounds right. To me like you kicked your habit, stopped doing that, and then you gained some weight.
Yeah, that was basically what happened.
I think that's a good trade-off.
Yeah.
You know, all things considered.
Now I'm fluffy and happily married with a little kid, and I like my figure now.
Okay. Now, what are you going to do if your kid, I'll even take meth out of the equation. Say you bust your kid, he's 14, 15 years old, and he's smoking weed and dropping acid.
Well, that's something that we know that he might experiment with.
Sure. I mean, he's a kid.
He's 7 years old, and he's a huge rock kid. And he's obsessed with listening to music from the Vietnam War era right now.
At 7 years old?
At 7 years old, yes.
So what do you mean? Is he listening to Painted Black from the Rolling Stones? Or, like, you know, I'm just thinking of movie soundtracks.
Yeah, he's listening to Led Zeppelin, Metallica, Jimi Hendrix. He's listening to... Scorpions came on your station a couple weeks ago, and he yelled at me for changing the station.
Yeah, you shouldn't change the station.
Yeah, he loves the Scorpions.
Well, no, I was just seeing if anything else was on your other station.
Yeah. Whatever.
I got you.
Just remember, lock it in, rip off the knob.
Oh, can you do that now? The radio still have knobs?
No,
because everything's just push button, right? Yeah. Even your volume.
You rip that off if you're, you know, you're a man.
Rip off the app.
Yeah.
I mean, Eddie, I'm just saying.
Spike your phone.
You take like a clip and pop off the button. It doesn't sound as cool, but like there's not
yank
a lot
out
of knobs
your Bluetooth
left.
And leave it right here.
Mm-hmm. Rip out the Bluetooth and kill the Wi-Fi.
Reason we asked, what did your roommate do? It doesn't have the same ring, does it?
It just doesn't.
Kill the Wi-Fi.
There's a woman who's a student at Chinese Culture University. That's in Taiwan. And she recently called the cops to report a crime. One of her five roommates ate some of her yogurt.
Uh-oh.
Even though it costs less than $2, she was furious, and she demanded a DNA test to find out which of her five roommates were taking her yogurt.
Damn.
Believe it or not, the cops actually did it. It cost more than $500 to test all of the roommates and empty the yogurt container, but the process worked. The cops figured out which roommate stole the yogurt, and now she's been charged with theft.
So I don't know the laws over there, right? But one, I cannot imagine any cop, any agency in the United States of America, if you went to them and said, look, there's a crime going on in my home, like, all right, here comes the pencil and pad, give me the notes. One of my four roommates is stealing my yogurt. Okay. I'm sorry, ma'am, are you done? They say, yes, but I'm here because I demand a DNA test, blah, 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 all the stuff. Assuming that the cops did not laugh you out of the police station. And they said, sure, we have nothing to do. Let's go ahead and do this. And then you track down the roommate. It's still less than $2 worth of yogurt. So in the States, I believe under, what, $499, five, like, nothing's really going to happen. So maybe the
law. I just think the roommate, too, like, look, you don't want a cop to steal in yogurt. But by the time you call the cops and stuff, you think you'd be like, all right, I ate the yogurt.
Or would you be more like, let me see how far this could possibly go, right? Because it still seems ridiculous. And they cannot possibly be serious to spend $500 for a loss of $2 of yogurt, but then you end up getting busted for this. I just wonder what your sentence is for stealing $2 worth of yogurt, man.
I know what you're thinking, Miles. It's all right. I was a bad roommate. I stole a lot of food and stuff for people.
Yeah, but here's the difference, Ted.
Me too.
We know how you are, so I wouldn't need a DNA test.
Right.
Like, Ted! Stop eating my goddamn yogurt.
I know a roommate named Joe Rosak.
I gotta say real quick, one time we were all living together, and I, at this point now in my life, I've had tofu, but I've never had tofu, and one of your guys is...
That's right.
Somebody...
I know who it was.
It was probably your wife. Somebody brought tofu into the house, but it was like mixed into pad thai, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna steal some chicken. And she's like, what the hell is that?
The thing is, I remember like you were pissed, because you're telling me the next day, and I'm like, wait a minute. You stole her food. You're like, yes. And you're mad because the food that you stole from her, that you stole from her, is not what you thought it was.
You're like, where? Why?
Yeah, the hell is that? Mm-hmm. Don't put it in our fridge. I'm like, okay. I like your line of thinking. Hey, don't tempt me to steal your crap if it's not crap I actually want.
I had a roommate named Joe Rosak, and his mom, nobody would come to the place we lived, except for, no parents, except
right,
for
right.
Joe's mom would come down. And she would come down and spend the weekend with us. In Joe's bed, he would sleep on the couch. And she would do all of his laundry for him.
Are you kidding?
She would take him to the grocery store. She would buy groceries.
Well, like once a month, once every...
It was seemed like a lot. It was a lot, okay? But anyway, she did this for him all the time, but she bought all this great food. I mean, like, you know what I mean? Mom's buying. I mean,
sure.
Joe got whatever the hell he wanted. So it got to the point where he got so frustrated with everyone taking his food that his mom bought that he got one of those mini fridges like Veggie Dog has in his office.
Yeah, but Veggie Dog puts it full of vegan stuff. He could leave it wide open and say free, and it would still be there.
So he had his own personal refrigerator in his room, and then he went and put a bolt lock on his door.
Okay.
And changed the regular lock so nobody could get into his room.
What kind of food was she buying him? Because I know it's frozen pizza.
Cans
and
of Pringles,
right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, come on, man.
You name it,
you
man. It was all the good things.
Your roommate's going to eat that.
If his mom's getting it for him, it's going to be the good stuff.
Right. Right, of course your roommate's going to eat that.
So what we would do is, like, okay. When we were with Joe and in his room smoking weed or whatever, if he went to the bathroom or something, somebody would go over to the window and unlock the window. The window is still closed.
Right.
It's just the latch has been turned. So when Joe would go to class, we would crawl in through the window and eat his food and do it that way and then close the window and then, you know, like either leave it open or leave it closed depending on the time and situation
sure,
and everything
sure.
else. One day, man, he comes in early from something. And one of our roommates, Warren, is sitting on the couch, and he's just got his hand in a big thing of Pringles, man. And Joe's like, Warren, where'd you get those Pringles? And Warren's like, oh, climb through your window, Joe. End of game. He locked his window from that point on. We lost our access to the food because Warren just didn't care. Yeah, climb in there, man. I stole some of your weed, too.
Hey, look, it's smart of him just to cop to it.
Yeah, Warren was also 6'3 and weighed 290 pounds.
So, in other words... You can prevent me from doing it again, but you ain't doing it. That's about it right now.
I
cannot
believe he actually could climb through that window. That was even more amazing if you saw how broad he was.
How much stuff did you steal from there?
I mean, a couple times. Just get in there. Just
what'd you say? I know. Look, if we go to a restaurant and you get up and go to the bathroom, got to smoke a cigarette, whatever drink you have, Miles has consumed 50% of what's left.
I did it the other night, but in front of you.
Your fry pot. I know. And it's but I don't even care anymore. Because I was trying to have this conversation with someone. We were explaining, like, you just accept people after a while for how they are, right? So certain people act a certain way, and you get really mad about it. Because it seems out of character, and why are they doing this? And then there's certain people, like Miles in this instance, like, hey, man, just drinking your drink. Like, there's nothing I can do about it. So, right? You just accept.
And the thing is,
that if Miles, you have to accept. There's no point getting mad about it, because it doesn't stop you. You don't care. You're just going to laugh about it.
I bet I can chug
it. I know you're going to drink my drink.
I can chug a pint in under 2.5-3 seconds. So I know for a fact if someone turns their head, I'll just go boom and just put the glass down suddenly to see if anybody notices.
But it's like, don't get mad about it, because it's like me farting.
I haven't done it in a while.
Say whatever you want. You said you didn't
do it
in a while.
Last
said
that's been like 3 or 4
damn
days. It's been 3 days.
It's every time. And it's like, there's no point getting mad. It's look, he's going to do it. You can't. He's the Terminator of stealing your drink.
Ted's buying. I didn't care.
Random.
Hello,
random,
Zach. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Zach, welcome to the program. The random question. We're doing good.
Okay, let's do it. Zach, you smoke every once in a while?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think has been a pretty cool thing that you've done while high? Maybe it was a great accomplishment. Maybe you took a test high and got an A, or
oh man,
you constructed something, or you got creative, or who knows.
I aced every academic test stone. That was my version of cheating, was getting stoned.
I got a good one for you. So back in ninth grade, I had some buddies, not really friends. I heard them talking about pot, how cool it would be to go to Amsterdam one day, and I was like, man, the stoners are never gonna go to Amsterdam. Turns out, like, my senior year, my parents moved to England, and I had an opportunity to go travel, go to Amsterdam. That was probably the coolest thing.
Did you walk around high?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, did you get any mushroom tea?
You know, I was kind of hesitant on that, you know, because I've done mushrooms in the past, but no, I just wasn't into it.
Well, let me ask you this. Now that you live in a place where weed is legal, does Amsterdam even still appeal to you? Because there's nothing against Amsterdam. I know there's a lot of history and all that.
Right.
But when I was growing up, at the group I ran with, just like yourself, it's all about the fact you could go there and get high. But now that you can get stoned, I'm like, if I go to Amsterdam, it's to see a museum. You know, I don't care about
that. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, honestly, Washington's the greatest place on earth. I've traveled a lot, and nothing beats the butt up here.
Well, it's very good.
We're lucky.
Okay, Canada's great, man. I mean, I don't know what they're doing now.
I have not been to Canada.
Well, keep in mind, when they did what the Cannabis Cup in Amsterdam for years in a row,
BC
they're winning.
Bud.
It was BC Bud, which here is just, it's doled out like Canada.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I like to go to any country where there's legal weed and smoke it in their country.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
Like, there's something fun about drinking when you're in Europe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no difference. You could be you could be the same group of people that you would be back home. But you're like, oh, we're across the world. This is more fun. So I think it'd be the same thing with smoking weed. Like, I live in a place where it's legal, but I look at me in Europe smoking weed.
I have a general belief, assuming it's a vacation, that no matter what you're doing, right, you could read a book, you could go drinking, you could smoke weed, you could ride a horse, you can go to the beach. If it's in a different country, somehow it's better.
Yeah.
The one time I believe that to be an exception is if you go to jail.
Agreed.
Like, if you have to go to jail, you want to be in your home country, but damn near anything else, you're like, whatever. I went on vacation, I broke my leg on the first day. Look, if you have a broken leg, you have a broken leg. If I can have a broken leg, say, in Paraguay, I would take that over a broken leg. I can have a broken leg either way.
Yeah.
I might as well be in a place where the memories are more, right?
Sure. I think I was high both times I got married.
Yeah.
I mean, just celebrating with friends, you know, like, hey, man, let's get stoned before this. Why not? Let's do it.
Sure.
Stupid stuff, you know, whatever.
But it's all good. I mean, it's hell, man, most things.
Yeah,
most
I think things I got stoned with my dad the first time I got married.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he just came up to the room and was like, man, you want to get high? I'm like, hell yes. Hell yes, I do.
Son, I know you're getting married. Let's smoke the weed.
Let's get high. The reason we asked, what did you do when you were high? If you ever wondered, which you probably never have, what Reverend Run from Run DMC was doing when he wrote Christmas in Hollis, he was getting high.
Is anyone surprised?
And he was eating breakfast. In an interview with the New York Post, he said, quotes, I was in my new house. I just purchased it in Hollis in Queens. I was by myself. And I looked down at my plate. It was eggs, jelly, and toast. I just finished my breakfast, and then I wrote the rap. I wrote that song in 1 minute. Do we have a little Christmas in Hollis in there, Mike? We can, yeah, let's see. This is, let's see if we can tell that he wrote this in 1 minute at breakfast while high.
Yes.
It was December 24th on Hollis Avenue, the dark, when I seen a man chilling with his dog at the park. I approached him very slowly with my heart full of fear. Looked at his dog, oh my God, a ill reindeer. But then I was feeling for the man and a beer, and a bag full of money, 12 o'clock at night. So I turned my head and checked, and the man was gone. But he was strapping down the back down on the lawn. I picked the wallet up, and then I took a pause. Took out the lights, and then he called and said, Santa.
Yeah. I mean, there's a whole verse that song where he just describes the meal.
Oh, yeah. And,
there's a Christmas in Hollis, Queens. Mom's cooking chicken and collard greens, rice and stuffing, macaroni and cheese.
You're high, man.
Right? Like, he's just like, yeah, and we're going to eat. I'm going to put that in the song.
Can you believe he was a couple of comments came in. And first, regarding you, Miles.
Right.
All right, so we're saying, look, you just have to accept the fact if Miles is around and you have a drink and you go anywhere, if you lean over to tie your shoe, by the time you sit back up, there's a chance your drink's gone. This says, throw's not lying. At one of the black parties for the beer, Miles drank my beer when I went to the bathroom. And as far as getting stoned and doing things quickly, I'm a computer programmer. At one point, I was working on a bug for about 2 weeks. Finally, I got frustrated. I took a hit of pot. 1 minute later, I had an epiphany and fixed the bug right then and there.
Bam. More of the random question coming up. 844-999-OLA. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Hola, bitchola. You have entered the men's room.
Your guess is as good as mine. Coming up, the categories will be apps and booze. We'll do your guess is as good as mine right after our random question. 844-999-OLA.
Random, random.
Hello, Mike.
Random,
welcome
random,
to the men's
random,
room.
Random.
Hola.
Hola. Hola.
How
you guys doing?
We're doing good, Mike. How are you?
Doing well.
Okay.
Unfortunately, back in Washington.
All right. Where did you move from?
No. I just got back from vacation. I spent the week in Cabo.
Well, of course you hate it here now.
No matter where you... If you went to Cabo, like, unless you live on the French Riviera, chances are when you get home, you're not happy
about
it.
I'm back here in horrible San Diego. It's 5 degrees colder.
Then you got to wonder, if you live in Cabo, right? If you live there, like, are you ever unhappy to go home? Most people, you're bumming when you go back from vacation, right? Because typically, you pick a place you want to be.
Yeah, but you're still bummed out. You're not on vacation.
Yeah, good
enough.
Plus,
I saw a guy from Hawaii once in an airport that had just seen snow for the first time.
Uh-huh.
He was beyond himself.
You okay, man?
Yeah. I was putting a garbage bag back in the garbage can.
Okay, good idea.
That's a good place to
sit. All right. And how was the trip? But, I just read something that Cabo is one of the most dangerous cities they say in the world.
Well, so is Baltimore.
I've been there, and I didn't get that vibe off of it, but that was what they said.
It depends where you go, right? It's coming from Baltimore. Everyone asks the same question because they know it from The Wire. And I say, yes, Baltimore is precisely like The Wire, but only those places in Baltimore that are like The Wire are like The Wire. The rest of Baltimore is like any other city. Even the people from Baltimore don't go to the places in Baltimore that are like The Wire because it's so much like The Wire. So, yeah, Cabo can be dangerous, but if you're staying at the resorts, I'm assuming you stayed at a resort and all that stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, like, come on.
Did you go to the Cabo Wabo Cantina?
No. I don't know if you know the area. We were in the Villa del Palmar, so beachfront, Tabasco's, right by the marina.
All right, so you're right downtown.
Yeah.
So you're pretty well about...
I don't know if you guys have ever heard of it.
You're about 3 blocks away from the cantina.
There you go.
Essentially, you're right there. All right, let's go with this one. Yeah. It's the holiday season. What holiday would you say you hate the most? What holiday would you say you hate the most?
Oh, man. Just based solely on principle, honestly, I would say Christmas.
The principle of what? Just all the stuff you got to go through, buying the presents, all that?
It's more, yeah, it's so much stress and so much unnecessary to show people that you care about them. You're killing yourself for it.
Okay. All right. I hear you on that. I do like the meal. I'm a big fan of Christmas dinner because, like, right. You know, it's basically Thanksgiving dinner all over again to some degree.
It's Thanksgiving 2.0. I mean, it's fine. And I know what you're saying. Look, everyone stresses out about Christmas because of what Christmas has become. And I get it. It's commercial holiday, blah, 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 blah. Sure. But if you come up with any holiday where you say gifts are involved, you have to assume that anyone that owns any kind of retail enterprise is going to go after you. Look, man, Valentine's Day, they target a different thing, but it's all high-dollar stuff. And I will say, as far as Christmas goes, as an adult, I don't care one way or another. But having kids, now I enjoy the holiday just because they are so excited.
What would you say?
Like Christmas lights are cool and this and that. I think people are a little nicer. But for me, if a holiday, New Year's Eve. I think it's the most overrated,
it is.
Ridiculous holiday.
I would put that in number two. What is yours?
That I hate most?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say. I don't know,
I don't
man.
Think it I mean, is. I think it's
maybe Valentine's Day.
That's number one for me.
Because that's
but it's a setup for failure.
But I don't even feel like that's actually a holiday.
It is.
You're like Christmas is
but
a
it
holiday.
Is. It,
man,
you
it's a date I mean, that
yeah,
everyone
it's
kind
you're
of
supposed
agreed.
To. That's
like
the
you
whole
go out
point.
For dinner, but I'm with Thrill. It's not a real holiday. It's not like people come over. It's two people going out.
It is. But that said, there's still more pressure on Valentine's Day, I believe.
You're describing exactly Christmas. Why I hate it.
Because here's the thing.
You're selling this for me. This is exactly right.
I would say
all
this.
All these things are the reason I
if
hate
it. If someone's disappointed with the Christmas gift, that's one of the few times you can say it's the thought that counts. Look, we were kids, man. Your parents screwed up, got you the wrong toy. But, like, it's fine. You get through it because somehow the day itself is still celebratory. Somehow you still have a good day for the most part.
Look,
Valentine's Day, man, I'm still going to work. I don't get off of this. You're spending all day worrying about what you're supposed to do. And if they don't appreciate the gift, you're going to know.
You get a reservation someplace. You've been trying to get in there. Valentine's books up way. But you do the right thing, man. Maybe in December you call them and go, I need a table for two.
Mm-hmm.
Get this Valentine's Day. Then you get there. They've got a one-sheeter of a fixed menu.
Right.
The thing that you
restaurant because you liked it, and then they don't serve any of the crap.
Like that. Happy Valentine's Day. You know,
thought does not count.
Hola. Nope. The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.